And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul speaks today in his second letter to the Corinthians about two kinds of glory. He reminds us of Moses, who came down from Sinai with the law, the tablets, and his face was shining with the radiance of God's glory. Yet, that radiance was of a fading type. The glory of God was real. The glory of the law was real. It revealed God's holiness, but it could not give life. The law was, as St. Augustine teaches, a gift that makes us long for grace. He says, the law was given that grace might be sought. Grace was given that the law might be fulfilled. The covenant on stone tablets could show us our need, but it could not heal our hearts. In Christ, however, we see an unfading glory of God. The new covenant is not written in stone, but in spirit. It is not written on tablets, but on our very hearts. As Paul says, the old was a ministry of death, but the new is a ministry of life. And this glory does not fade. It grows, for where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And this truth is beautifully illustrated in today's gospel lesson from St. Mark. Jesus is approached by people who bring him a man who is deaf and barely able to speak. Our Lord takes him aside out of the crowd. He touches his ears. He spits and touches his tongue and looks up to heaven and sighs deeply before saying, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And at once the man's ears are opened and his tongue loosened. God's creation responds to its creator. The early fathers of the church loved this story because it not only revealed what Christ's compassion on us, but it also it shows the whole mystery of salvation. Origen saw that in this deaf and mute man lies the image of all humanity. Unable to hear God's voice and unable to speak his praise until Christ comes. St. Ephrem the Syrian connects the miracle with baptism, in which Christ opens the ears of the person being baptized to hear his holy gospel and loosens the tongue of those being baptized to confess the creed. St. Ambrose marveled that Christ used spittle, such a lowly and ordinary thing, to bring healing. This teaches us that God delights to use humble matter, to use the humble things of this earth, like he uses water in baptism and bread and wine in the Eucharist. God loves to use his creation to bring about God's salvation and bring about new creation. So Paul helps us understand this more deeply in the deeper meaning of this in his epistle to the Romans. He tells us that Christ is the stone laid in Zion, but also the stone of stumbling. So Israel, seeking righteousness by the law, stumbles when the gospel comes. Yet Paul warns us Gentiles not to boast, for we too stand only by God's grace. God is both kind and severe. We are grafted into the olive tree of God's people, the tree of life. We stand it only by grace alone. And it is by this grace that we both experience God's kindness and God's severity, God's justice and God's mercy. God's justice towards those who are in unbelief, those who actively seek to destroy the good things of God's creation, those who turn willingly away from the good news that Jesus Christ is King, and His mercy, His kindness to those who remain strong and steadfast in His goodness, who listen to the will of the Father, who are in His holy church, and those who listen for the whisper of God's holy will. So we see two sides of God's grace here, justice and mercy. But Paul ends with, in this passage, Paul ends with a hymn of hope. He says, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. God has consigned all to disobedience that He may have mercy on all. Brothers and sisters, do we see the connection between the epistle today and the gospel? The deaf man is Israel, and he is also us. The law revealed God's voice in our hearts and in our ears, but we could not hear it by our own understanding. We were unable to speak rightly of God. Christ must come. And He does so in an intimate way. He does so. He comes down from heaven and becomes man. He touches us. He sighs deeply for us and says, "Be opened to our ears, to our hearts, and to our eyes." In Him, the veil of Moses is lifted. The glory is unveiled. And the Spirit makes us alive. And this is not just a story from long ago. The church used this miracle that Jesus performed, and they used it in their baptismal rite. They included it, the epitha, in the baptismal rite. The priest would touch the ears and the lips of the catechumen, the person being put forth towards baptism and confirmation, praying that the Holy Spirit might open the ears of the person to hear God's holy gospel and to confess with their mouth the faith. And at every Mass, Christ does the same for us. This isn't something that is far off. He takes humble bread and wine and touches them with His word and Holy Spirit, and it becomes the means of grace for us, a means of His presence. He opens our ears so that we might hear His holy gospel, that we might hear His word preached, and He loosens our tongues so that we might not be like the deaf stones, like the mute and deaf and inanimate stones that the law was written on, but that we might be living and breathing witnesses of God and what He's done for us. He has loosened our tongues to preach His holy word, to proclaim that Jesus came down from heaven, was born a man, and died for our sins, was resurrected, and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. God has loosened us, loosened our tongues to be able to speak this out to those who don't know Him. And the harvest is plenty. Brothers and sisters, people don't know the story of Jesus. It's not like they are hostile to it. They just don't know. And it is up to us to preach the holy word, to preach the gospel to these people in our lives. So what must we learn from this? Well, first we need to learn humility, because Paul says that we stand only on mercy. We cannot do it alone. Nothing about this we can do on our own volition. The gifts we enjoy are Christ's and has been given to us. They are not by right ours, but are given to us as grace. The second thing is openness. We must daily allow Christ to move in us, to mold us, to shape us, and to speak his epitha over us. Be opened. He tells our ears and our eyes to see his holy will, to our mouths so that we might proclaim his holy gospel and confess that he is Lord. The third is praise. Like the man in the gospel, we cannot remain silent once touched by Jesus. So how much more if the man who was charged by Jesus could not keep himself from proclaiming the good things of the kingdom to those around him? How much more should we be doing so, who Jesus has explicitly expressed his commandment to us to preach and teach God's holy word, to proclaim on the mountaintops, in the alleyways and byways, on the highways and in our works, in our work, that Jesus Christ is King. He has commanded us to do so. So how much more should we be doing so than the person who Jesus commanded not to? We should proclaim the glory of the Lord who has opened our ears through his holy baptism and through confirmation, through all the sacraments, and loosened our tongues to love him. Brothers and sisters, the glory of Moses has faded, but the glory of Christ is not. It is eternal. It shines in his sacraments. It shines in the holiness in our lives. It transforms us in the spirit. Paul says a renewing of our minds. And it is one day to be perfected in us, in the glorification of our bodies, at the general resurrection, when we see him face to face. So until that day, let us live our lives pleasing to the Lord, an aroma rising up to the Lord, pleasing to him. Let our mouths proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is King, and let our ears not fall deaf to what Jesus is telling us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.